and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and with me to break down week 10 of the NFL, James Bitter, Austin Tark. Guys, how we doing?
We're back Wednesday night tonight. Good to be here.
Better than ever.
James is eating dinner. Was it, you said steak and salt and vinegar chips?
I had 15 minutes to make dinner after class.
You're before freak. We recorded this. You're a freak.
I have time to decide.
Week 10. What is this? I guess there's 18 weeks now, so we're officially across the halfway point. So we're half a season in. And should we call this past Sunday Bloody Sunday? Just Bills for lost.
For my survivor pools, yes. We can definitely call it that.
For everything, yes.
Bills lost. Cowboys lost. Horrible
Sunday.
The books had the day that they've always wanted.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like a lot now, maybe not. The day they love is just that when every teaser just gets absolutely destroyed.
Sunday.
Rams helped quite a bit with that one.
That's true. Oh, yeah, I forgot the Rams lost. Hey, Ryan Tannehill and Lamar Jackson, our MVP bets, off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
But give me a – also, you normally have something ready to go. Give me a first-half takeaway. What's the most important thing we've learned from the first half of the NFL season?
Good question. I mean, we kind of hit on it last week. It's that the NFC is way better than the AFC. We were talking about it before the pod. I have no idea who the one seed is going to be in the AFC. As a Tannehill MVP better, I hope it's the Titans, but still not totally bought in. The Bills last week surely showed me that they have a lot to prove. And as far as the NFC side, there's a lot of good teams. Even though the Rams lost, even with Colt McCoy, the Cardinals are still blowing out teams. That NFC is damn good. My takeaway is if we can find that bet where it's NFC minus a field goal, under a field goal for the Super Bowl against the AFC opponent, I like that.
Oh, I forgot to look for that. Yeah, I'm hoping to find like -2.5. That'd be nice.
Yep.
For me, I think we got to give Cliff Kingsbury his credit. I feel like I'm sure that I did. I think I said, week one, I said, I love the Cardinals roster, and I think they could be a pretty good team, challenge for a playoff spot if they play in spite of their head coach. And I think Cliff has proven, especially just from last week's performance, that he can he's not quite in the what I'll call the dog shit coach range. And I think he's elevated himself a tier or two. So good for him. James, anything?
For me, it's just the parity. I mean, in the AFC, we're supposed to have a couple just deadlocks for first place teams and the Chiefs and the Bills. But nobody's picking up any ground, and halfway through the season, it looks just like it's just a complete toss up at this point.
Yeah, and the Chiefs, by far the biggest disappointment. I'm weirdly hoping that they pick up OBJ, not that because I think he's like a huge difference maker, but just to get
ruin him more.
No, just I kind of enjoy seeing the Chiefs good. So I just think the offense is pretty fun. So hopefully it unlocks something that's clearly missing. But
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is missing, and he's missing on my fantasy team, and I'm going to be happy to see him in 2 weeks.
Dude's trash. it's best bet time. James, did you grab another win? Yes, you did. Bears plus 6.5. Hey, shout out to Justin Fields. Put on a show in the second half.
Yeah, he did.
You are 7-1-1. Does that sound correct?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think so. You're first. Where are we headed for your best bet?
We're going back to the well. We're going back to the Steel City. I like the Lions plus 9 as my best bet this week. If you watch the Sunday night game, you have to realize the Steelers were so fortunate to walk out of there with a win. The Bears played against two teams on Monday, the Steelers and the refs. And despite all that, they still almost came out on top. Was incredibly impressed by the Bears. But, I mean, my main takeaway from that game was just the Steelers are overvalued in the market. They're now 0-4 as a favorite. They've actually just managed to win 2 of the 4 games.
But them laying over possession against anyone is just not a good bet. Last week, they gave up over 400 yards to the Bears. And 7.1 yards per play, both season highs for the Bears. The Bears, prior to that game, have not gone over 400 yards a single time. And now we get a lot of rest disparity here. And I think we're getting a pretty good buy low spot on the Lions as well. The Lions just lost 40-3 to the Eagles at home. And they got 2 weeks to reflect on it. Meanwhile, on the other side, the Steelers only have 6 days of rest. So I think the rest advantage definitely helps out the Lions here. And I really like what I see from the Lions, not on the field, but off the field. I love what Dan Campbell is saying. After they got blown out, he was talking about how he's actually kind of excited to watch the tape. And he named like one of the guys when they were down by 40, who was just giving us all out there. And just nobody's quitting in that locker room. That it kind of excites me for this. And I don't think there's going to be any lack of tricks, fake punts, fake field goals in this game for the Lions. Dan Campbell will bring out all the stops in this one. I think the Lions are actually pretty live here. I'll gladly take the 9. I think the Lions keep it within a possession.
Austin?
Are we doing it, Chaz?
I think
I'm wondering when you guys have done this.
Yeah, go give ahead. Me that action, James. Austin, set the table for the Steelers.
Okay.
Okay, well, I hear all of your points, James, because I would agree. This feels like a lot of points for the Steelers to be favored by. We talked about it last week. There's no way they should be favored by 6.5 points against anyone. To say that there's only a 2-point difference between the Lions and the Bears, I would say is not enough. I think the fact that they lost – it's funny you brought up the tape last week, that he's saying the right things about the tape. If you didn't know, Dan Campbell buried the tape. They brought out shovels and they buried last week's tape.
No way.
They did. Which is such a football thing.
I like
but
that.
But the one thing you can't bury is how bad this Detroit team is. And I think and the biggest fade for me is this is a fade against Jared Goff. And we're getting a game in Pittsburgh where there's projected rain, there's projected weather. It's going to be a cold game. And we know Goff, he's best in the sun. He's best in a dome. And he's best when he's in a clean pocket. Steelers have a good pass rush. I think they're going to put a lot of problems on this Lions team. I think the Lions really fucking suck. And I understand the Lions side. I get they have extra time to prepare. Steelers even have some receivers hurt. I just don't think it matters. I don't think the Lions are good. I don't think they'll score enough points. Chaz, let me hear your side, and then I'm thinking of grabbing the button.
Well, one of James's main selling points was that they just lost 40-3. I mean, and like say what you will about
against the Eagles.
yeah, exactly. A team with a what I would say is a far worse defense and a pretty comparable offense with
no, they're better offensively. Steelers are a bottom six offense in the league.
It's somewhat comparable.
Steelers offense is putrid.
I'll give you the Eagles have a better offense. I'm not saying that it's by that much. The Steelers at least have good skill players. And what we're looking for with the Lions is to just like stop like continuous like yardage gains. And you know what? If I have to lay 9, Dan Campbell can run every fake that he has in the book. That just gives me the Steelers a better chance to get better field position, especially with a team that like, I think the Steelers are the epitome of what I would call like a disciplined franchise. It's just like everyone's completely bought in. And I think getting a win like that last week is a good springboard kind of into the future. I mean, they are in the thick of it in the AFC North. And I think it's just like a kind of like a take care of business game. And I have no issue trying to see the Steelers get margin in this game here. So, yeah, screw it.
Let's not forget. Look, last week, Justin Fields did look pretty good, but the Steelers fumbled a punt to make it a 3-point game late into that game. If that punt doesn't happen, that fumble doesn't happen, Steelers covered that game with ease. They completely dominated that game just up until about
completely dominated.
They were 23-13.
Did you watch a different game?
They were game? They controlled the entire game.
40 yards.
14-3 at half. I agree.
120 yards for the Bears and penalties. They were handed the game. They did not dominate whatsoever. They should have lost.
I agree with James here. I like the Bear. I think the Bears deserve to win, if I'm being honest. But I mean, I think that we should be appreciating the Steelers' full body of work a little bit more. And like as much fun as I have kind of poking at Big Ben and Matt Ryan too, for example, which I will kind of get at later on, they have not been as terrible as I make them out to be. And I think this is now 4 straight wins for the Steelers. And honestly, I think that last week might underrate their defense, like kind of might like bring the market value of their defense down a little bit. And I think this should be over 10, and getting it under 10, I think, is pretty valuable. So on that, any closing thoughts, James?
Are we grabbing the button?
Yes, I am. I'm in.
Go ahead. The line.
I'll take it too.
The Lions were in a bad spot. If you want to talk about the Eagles game, they had their Super Bowl, Jared Goff's revenge game, and they came up just short, and they came home flat. They won't be flat here.
Yeah, that's fair. But
they suck, though.
Like, they're no kidding. They're horrible. I'm well aware. It's about the spot.
I'll take the button. Underdogs won last week. It's we've got a little 3-week grace period here. I'm on a little best bet tear right now. I'm gonna catch you, James. I'm 4-5
back, bro. 3.5 back.
Okay. I'm going to New England.
Yeah, you coming with 2 wins, bro. You are coming too.
Yeah, Austin's a little bit of a different story.
My God.
I'm not dead.
But we're going to New England next. And I'm going to fade the New England Patriots. I'm going to take the Browns plus 2.5. I also think this is an incredible teaser leg. I think the Patriots are wildly overvalued here. They succeed in running the football, and I think that it's for a incredibly talented Browns defense. I think that's should be pretty easy to scheme up against. And, you know, much has been said about how good Mac Jones has been, and I think he has been solid and consistent. And even last week, I think we saw that what pressure does to him. And I mean, he had around 150 passing yards, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he threw a couple picks, or maybe I'm wrong there, but and that was the first time all year he had faced an adjusted pass rate or pass rush rate above ranked 12th or better. And now he's going up against the Browns, who have arguably, I mean, the best pass rusher in the entire game. And I think that Myles Garrett matched up on Isaiah Wynn, who struggled a bit this year. I think he could absolutely feast. I'm actually going to look at a Myles Garrett sack prop if I can find it. But and then offensively, I think that kind of just I'm not going to say it's Odell Beckham Jr.'s fault that their offense was bad. But I think that the release of a distraction was kind of a big deal. And if you're worried, I'm at this point, I'm okay with Nick Chubb. Like, I'm making this bet thinking that Nick Chubb isn't going to play. And that's fine, because we saw D'Ernest Johnson rush for, what, like 150 yards on Thursday Night Football or something.
Yep.
And I think it's really good running backs are fun. They don't matter that much. And I don't think it's cause for a 2.5 point downgrade here. So give me the Browns plus 2.5, and I think they get the win outright. James, what do you think?
Yeah, this is also one of my likes. This is I bet this in Browns money line and teased it. I completely agree. All the points you said were perfect. Chris Johnson to Nick Chubb is now worth 2.5 points. And the Browns defense is finally healthy. I mean, we saw last week they wreaked havoc in Cincinnati. and the Patriots just played a cupcake schedule to help kind of fluff some of those offensive numbers. Last week we saw Mac Jones have 2 turnovers against an okay Panther defense. They're good. I guess they're a good defense, but the Browns are really good around compared to the Panthers. I think the Browns can do whatever they want on the ground, and that defense wreaks havoc in New England.
Yep. Threesome here. You guys said everything I wanted to say. The only thing I'll add is the Browns secondary looked pretty good last week, and Denzel Ward's back, and it's clearly an upgraded unit for him. I'm with you guys. It's really the pressure for me. Mac Jones had the lowest EPA he's had all season last year against that Panthers deep defensive line. The second worst EPA was against the Chargers, which the second best pressure teams face. And now he faces the Browns, which is in the same class as them. I just don't think Mac Jones is that good. And in a close game, and especially a game where if Browns get out to a lead, I don't see Mac Jones and the Patriots coming back from behind.
Agreed. All right. And now we're going to Las Vegas, where the Raiders are hosting the Chiefs. Raiders are getting 2.5 points at home. Total is, I believe, 53.
52.
Austin, for your best bet, who are we siding with?
So, what am I, 2-7?
2-7.
Yep. I'm not going away. I'm not going out sad. So I'm taking the Chiefs.
Wait, really quick.
Yep.
Can you guarantee you get to 8?
So there's
8 and 10.
How many weeks? 6 and 3. You got to finish 6 and 3.
8. I'm getting to 10. Good luck catching me, guys. Okay. I'm winning this thing. I'm not tripping. I'm not fucking leaving.
Okay.
Anyways, taking the Chiefs this week.
Okay.
This number feels like the bottom of the Chiefs range. Looking like back to last year in this same exact game at Las Vegas last year, right? The Chiefs were 7-point favorites in that game. Yeah. And it was similar rosters, like at least skill position wise. And looking back to the team this year, we now have a new coach. And this Raiders team, I'm just not very impressed with their secondary, especially after cutting Arnett last week. I just don't really see them stopping this Chiefs defense.
Well, he sucked to begin with, so I'm not sure that's a total net negative.
Agreed. But he was still a starter. And the Raiders, they don't play cover two. And the Chiefs this year have struggled against a cover two defense where the defense forces everything underneath. The Raiders have played 12 snaps in this past defense all year. I don't really expect them to change their defense on the fly. So if they're playing their normal cover three, cover four defense, plays into the Chiefs' hands for sure. So I think we're getting the better QB. We're getting the better coach, and it's only under a field goal here. I can't believe the spread is under 3. I look at this Raiders team and I see a lot of locker room issues swirling. I think when they're winning and when Derek Carr looks like a great leader, it's great. But as they start to lose games, as they lost last week to the Giants, it's when things can start to crumble, and it doesn't help when you have your head coach starting. I understand the Chiefs are worth downgrading and the spread should be lower than the 7 points that it was last season, the 7.5 that it was on the preseason lines. But are the Raiders really worth upgrading here? I mean, looking at their schedule outside of the Baltimore win, which they were trailing by 14 points in the fourth quarter, they haven't beat a legit team. Like, I don't think this Raiders team is very good. I'm gladly taking the Chiefs under a field goal. And as I was saying to Chaz earlier before this, if you look at this Raiders schedule, they have some tough competition ahead of them. They've clearly beaten up on all the teams that they can already. I don't see this team getting 7 wins, 7 at tops. I don't think the Raiders are that good. And I think the fact we're getting Chiefs under field goal, very valuable, and I'll take it.
All right, James, what do you think?
Yeah, I lean that way. I mean, you can make the same argument. The Chiefs were minus 10 against the Giants just 2 weeks ago, and then the Raiders go there and they're minus 3. Clearly, I don't think 2.5 points is a big enough spread here, but at the same time, I don't know if I trust the Chiefs right now. I think the Raiders are actually a good tease in this game. I think this would be a close game. I can totally see the Chiefs winning by 3 and 7. Dude, it's a primetime game at Las Vegas. The place is going to be rocking. The Chiefs defense, by the way, is still not good. They got Jordan Love last week. But, I mean, I kind of like the over a little bit too, I guess.
I see.
At some point,
the market's got to bottom out. Yeah.
What? The over in the Raiders is a tease?
Yeah.
The Raiders are going to score.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, no.
I don't know.
Teasing against the Chiefs is just not something that, like, I have to think about a lot.
Especially well, they don't cover up. Spreads. You can probably just bet it straight. Were they 3 and 14 out of the last 17?
Except you don't get many spreads under a field goal with this team.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah, I'm sure I'll have action on it because it's a Sunday night game, but I'm just not sure what right now.
Darren Waller props because if what's his name, yep. Daniel Sorensen, if that walking warm body has to cover Darren Waller, Darren Waller is going to absolutely feast. That could be fun. That could actually be a pretty fun bet there. Austin, don't hate it. I
got to win eventually.
You do, which, I mean.
Might as well take the Chiefs.
I mean, you've been due for what now, like 5 weeks?
Yep.
7. And then, hey, the Chiefs are due too.
Yeah.
Technically didn't close the closing line or didn't beat the closing line last week.
That's wild.
I don't know. I'm going to watch this Chiefs Raiders game in with great anticipation. The Raiders, they won at Kansas City last year and then like lost on like a Mahomes miracle drive, right? In like 30
seconds.
Yeah,
last second touchdown, yeah.
So
35-31.
I think with the tight spread, getting under a field goal is pretty valuable here. So I can't diss on it too much, Austin, despite your record, that is. Thank you. We are recording on the Wednesday, so we will get to Thursday night. But before we do, just a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. All righty, Thursday night football. Don't get to do a whole lot of these. The Ravens are the teaser leg of the week, laying 7.5 on the road at the Miami Dolphins. Total in this game is 46.5. James, I believe the Ravens are a like for you.
They are. I teased them, and I also bet them at 7.5 plus 100. I think the Ravens have struggled at points this year, especially being a favorite in this range. But when they were a favorite in this range against the Bengals, the Vikings, all competitive teams, now you get the Dolphins, who are a shell of a football team. If you watched that game last Sunday or just happened to take a look at that box score, there were 9 turnovers between the Dolphins and the Texans. And the Dolphins were outgained by the Texans. It set football back 100 years. I don't care who's playing quarterback for the Dolphins. I don't think they're going to stop the Ravens. I think another angle you could take here is Dolphins under 20.5 for their team total. But I think the Ravens roll here. 7.5 is just a little too short.
9 turnovers is absurd. I don't have much. I love the teaser leg play. I just don't see the Ravens losing this game. It's the short week. They're the better coaching staff. This Dolphins team just sucks on both sides of the ball. That game last week was pretty pitiful.
It's ridiculous.
The only thing I really want to talk about
is the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, it's a Cheez-It Bowl. The only thing I want to talk about this game is the fact that our MVP Lamar numbers are still live. This is a great game in prime time for him to really pad some stats and look good in front of a national audience. If this team could somehow get the 1 seed, that an MVP looks very good. Just my fear is, as we saw in that Vikings game, their defense isn't very good, which I don't think matters too much when you're playing Miami, but this Baltimore defense can certainly be picked apart, and it's going to take some heroic outings from Lamar to continue winning.
I agree. I'm going to be watching, rooting for the Ravens tees, like I'm sure 80% of America, and I will be rooting for Lamar Jackson to put up a massive rushing day and hopefully break into like the top 3 of the rushing leaders. That would be pretty fun. Sunday, the Jacksonville Jaguars are getting 10 at the Indianapolis Colts. Urban Meyer got a win. That was the happiest I've ever seen him after the game.
Agree.
We
saw a video of a girl up on him. He was pretty happy in that too.
That's true. The little finger in the booty hole. I don't know what to think about this game because honestly, the Colts with the best bet last week probably didn't necessarily deserve to cover. Probably got a little lucky at the end. Austin, give me a winning bet for this game. I want to hear it.
Well, I did have flashbacks to the week one survivor getting killed last year when the Colts lost to the Jags week one.
Yo, bro, they always lose at Jacksonville.
This is Indianapolis.
Gardner Minshew.
And this is the same spread as we saw last week against the Jets. And I think the Jets and Jags are very comparable, and the Colts absolutely dominated that game. They have extra rest. It's a letdown spot for the Jags. I kind of think the Colts just dominate. And look, the Jags had success last week. Their defense looked pretty good. But that was against a Buffalo team that played the most one-dimensional game I've ever seen. They had 8 called runs last week. The Colts are definitely going to rely on the run ball and should be able to run all over them. I'm just not really going to overreact to this Jags team. I think the Colts blow them out. But the one thing that is holding me back a little bit, it might have been garbage time. But at the same time, I'm still not totally bought into this Colts defense. Their secondary is still not very good. It's injured. But the Jets certainly exposed it in garbage time last week. Again, it was garbage time. They were playing prevent. But Trevor Lawrence should be able to have a decent day. Colts don't have much of a pass rush either. So I'm kind of looking at the over as well, but gun to my head, you want to win some money, I'm taking the Colts. I still don't think the Jags are very good. Huge letdown spot as well.
James, what do you think?
You know what? If we could have a 6-like, I think this would be my 6-like. I like the Colts minus 10.5. We saw the Jacksonville Jaguars win in London and then have a week off. And then what they do? They went to Seattle, lost 31-7 to Geno Smith. Now they're getting a better team on the road than that version of that Seahawks team. And the Colts have extra rest here. I think the Colts dismantle the Jags.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I'll know. Oh, Austin, to answer your question, like the Jags have I guess you didn't really ask a question, but the Jags have like by far like the worst passing defense in the NFL. And coming into the game, that was probably the game plan for the Bills. And like they just weren't able to execute.
In a 9-6 game, though, you have to run the ball more than 8 times.
That's fair. Yeah. I would agree. It's not like they were like down like 2 possessions or something. And I think that weirdly, I feel like with the amount of shots downfield Carson Wentz takes, it's going to be really easy for them to get off
the ice.
Oh, I mean, come on. It's Carson Wentz. That's a given. He leads the league in that. But I think that they'll be able to get margin really easily. I think I'd rather bet Colts first half just because I think it could kind of get ugly pretty quick. And I don't really want to leave it up to an open back door. What would you think about that? Let me see what it is first.
I don't hate that. We saw last week what the Colts did.
That'll be under 7. It is 6. I like that.
I think that's where I'm attacking this. I think we see a creative Colts offense early, and then I think it's just run the ball, and that's where things could get a little dicey. So,
mm-hmm. Have you seen Carson Wentz's stat line? He has some numbers this season: 2,200 yards, 17 TDs, and only 3 interceptions. And then 1,000 penalty yards, but that's not on the stat sheet.
I'm sure that's the next place is about around a solid 250 too. It's the best play in football, and it's not even close. You don't even have to make the catch; you just have to
run into the defender.
Yeah, or you have to slow down enough so that they bump into you. Already hit Browns to Dallas. We go. The Falcons are getting 9.5 points. Taking on the Dallas Cowboys, total at 54.5. I believe it's the biggest total of the week. Yep. Austin, I'll start with you first. Where are we looking here?
This is one of my likes. I like the Cowboys -9. I'm not going to overreact to the bizarre result last week. Look, everyone has their bad games, their bad performances, and I was clearly one of them last week for Cowboys. This is certainly a get-right game. I think this Falcons team sucks. We're getting a spread that is less than what it was last week, even though I don't know how you could have the Falcons. I mean, they're pretty much ranked the same here, but still 9 under 10 we're getting. I think it's valuable. Look, the Falcons have looked pretty impressive as of late, but in the last 5 games, they faced Trevor Siemian, Sam Darnold, Tua, Zach Wilson, and Heinicke. This will be a huge step up in competition. Their defense is going to get exposed because their defense sucks. They don't have any pass rush, especially now that Dante Fowler's hurt. I cannot believe they almost choked that game last week. It was very embarrassing the way they gave up that lead. They not to mention they really don't have passing options. I mean, Ridley's still gone. They don't have many weapons there. I don't think this Cowboys defense is world beaters, but I think they're going to score at will. I really like Dallas -9. And we missed our team total last week for Dallas.
I would say in embarrassing fashion.
Yep. I would agree.
I agree. This is a like for me. It's very simply put, buy low, sell high. Just 2 weeks ago, we watched the Falcons lose at home to Sam Darnold. And now they beat the Saints. And now we get the Cowboys off what I would think is a completely embarrassing loss. Get them at home. And I think that also it was a very sloppy game. And I think they're a little more tuned up this week. Like CeeDee Lamb, a couple of drops. 0-for-4, 0-for-3 on fourth down, something like that, at least early on in the first half. And that punt play was just bizarre. I think that was one of those plays where it was a little bit of a momentum turner.
What the hell was that? I didn't even know that was a rule.
It's actually, I think
it's like a muff
sense.
Punt.
It's
beyond the line of scrimmage.
Go on.
Yeah, there's been the one with, it was the Niners game where he like touched it and it went out of the back.
Oh,
of the
that
end
was
it
ridiculous.
Or something. That's
and
the worst.
They're making up rules this year. The double punt.
That was another one.
the
punts is really
the Tampa game where there was like, you can't fumble forwards under 2 minutes, but any other part of the game you can. I mean, it's
That's always been a rule.
Why is it 2 minutes?
Why not just the whole game?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I didn't write the rule book.
Give me the answer, James.
I can't give you all the answers. I wish I could.
James, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, you guys hit the nail on the head here. In Dallas's three home games prior to that game against the Broncos, they had scored 36, 41, and 44. So I also kind of like that Dallas team total over. Which you guys haven't mentioned yet, too, was Dak was probably rusty coming off that. There was a bye week, and then he didn't play at Minnesota. So he was off 3 weeks without seeing game action. So I'm sure that led to some of that. And it's just a horrible spot. Huge Sunday night went on the road with a backup QB, too. And then you just come out super flat at home. I don't put much stock into it. I think the Cowboys roll here.
Good point. I like that bet.
All right. The Buffalo Bills take on the New York Jets. Jets at home getting 12.5. Totals at 47.5. Austin, are your J-E-T-S, Jets flying high this weekend?
I lean that way. You know how much I want to like it and I want to play it, but I just can't. I mean, honestly, like, you're going to tell me Mike White's stats and how he just can't possibly survive in the NFL, but the team seems to rally around.
No, him. I'm not going to, he can survive.
I don't know what, Michael Carter said about him, but he said something. He's just being that he's that guy. And I think the team really likes Mike White. The team seems to be excelling under him. So yeah, maybe they can hang around in this game, but really I'm looking at this Bills team and Josh Allen is not playing like 2020 Josh Allen. He's playing, I don't want to say 2019 Josh Allen, but he's just not playing up to the standards that he was last year. And that's a problem for this team. And I look at this Bills team and look, the Jets suck, but they haven't really played anyone. They've played the Chiefs and the Titans and they're 1-1 in those games. But they've been really feeding on playing these bad teams and beating the hell out of them that I'm just not totally bought into this team. I'd lean the Jets way just because, you know, I'm a huge Jets fan. But I don't really have a strong opinion on the game.
Huge Jets fan.
I bet the Bills. I want to say Jets money line.
Like, I bet the Bills. Mike White isn't as good as what he did when he threw for 400 yards. I think this Bills defense is still very good. And I think we're going to see in a game where we are going to see really low average A-dot passes from Mike White, I think that's only going to play into the Bills' hands even more. I love me some Michael Carter receiving props and playing Austin fantasy football this week. I'm very excited for that. Also, I think this is as get right of a spot for the Buffalo Bills offense as you can get. I think we saw the absolute worst of Josh Allen. And I think that sums up Josh Allen. It's his ceiling is as high as any quarterback in the league. And he just doesn't quite have the high floor that you get with a Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or anyone else of that kind of like talent level. And I don't think that's not something that I'm going to overreact to. I think that the recent data point is so ugly that it's pretty easy to just say, you know what, I'm getting double digits here and Mike White's pretty fun to back. So we're just going to roll it there. I think and this is the Buffalo Bills we're talking about. If Mitch Trubisky's playing again, you know what? I didn't waste money touchdown on props. Anytime touchdown bet last week. You bet your ass I'm betting him to score a touchdown this week. giving the Bills minus 12.5, I think they roll here, especially on the road.
Yeah, I also lean to the Bills. I think it's just a really good buy low spot. The Jets defense is still atrocious, and I think you have to just throw that game out for the Bills. I've never seen any performance like that from an offense that good, especially against a team like the caliber of the Jags. It's just a lean though for the Bills. I don't have much here.
All right. Saints.
This is a good game.
At the Tennessee Titans. Right now, I'm seeing Titans -3.
-105.
+100.
Ooh.
Total is 44.5. Sorry, I brain broke for a second. James, I'll kick it to you. Where are we headed here?
I like the Saints a lot, +3. I know Austin on the other side excites me. If you want to talk about a buy low, sell high, you cannot sell any higher on the Tennessee Titans than you can here. Last week, they dominated the Rams on national television. But if you dive into that box score, they really didn't dominate. They were handed 14 points, which flipped the game on its head. And then their next two drives that they scored were completely aided by the Rams' penalties and shooting themselves in the foot. The Rams ended up with 115 yards in penalties and aided the just basically gave Tennessee the game. I'm not gonna lie, Tennessee has been incredibly impressive this year. Their defense has been, and that pass rush has been pretty tenacious, but I just still don't trust that offense. And I think the Saints have an excellent defense and a good offensive line here, which can mitigate Tennessee's two kind of to their best aspects that they've had so far. And I still doubt what Tennessee could do with the ground game with Peterson, McNichols, and Deontay Foreman. I don't think there's that a whole lot there. And yes, AJ Brown and Julio are getting a little healthier, but I just don't think they have the weapons. I think the Saints can do a lot here and move the ball on this Titans defense. I'll take the three here. I think the Saints win.
Okay. So there's a couple things I want to say there. So to say the Titans don't have weapons, I just disagree with. Like, they have weapons there. But I do think that the Saints have the formula. They do have the defensive recipe to stop them. I look at last week's performance and, yeah, diving in that box score, they got out gained by 150 yards. But you have to, like, in looking at that second half, their offense didn't have to, like, go into, like, a super pass-heavy offense. They were leading the whole way. McVay settled for a field goal. And then it was – they were up by two possessions the entire game. So I didn't – they didn't have to go fully pass-heavy. So I'm still – and it's another week for this offense to get going. But this fade is against the Saints, this and the Saints offense. I mean, so the one thing you didn't mention, which I think is going to be news for you as well, Alvin Kamara is most likely not playing in this game. He picked up a knee injury last week, and they're already – they sat out practice today, and they're already signing running backs to the practice squad. So you're getting Mark Ingram and Trevor Siemian in a quarterback. Also, you're more film on Trevor Siemian. I just can't possibly get into bed with that offense. I'm impressed with this Titans defense. As you mentioned, they have a stellar pass rush and that pass rush is looking very good. Even their secondary is looking pretty good. And I hear you. I think the Saints defense is good. I think Lattimore can probably shut down AJ Brown. They have a good D line. That'll probably stop the Titans O line. Hurt the Titans injured offensive line, but for the most part, I'm getting a -3.3 spread at home against Trevor Siemian and Mark Ingram against a Titans team that is 7-2 and just continues to win games. I'll gladly take Tennessee and the button.
I'm with Austin here.
Did you know about Kamara?
That was news to me. I still like it a lot.
Hi, James.
Honestly, more than anything, I kind of like the under now for listening to everything.
Yeah, I was just about to endorse that. I think, first of all, I think that the box score is also a tiny bit misleading too, just because the Rams put up 75 yards on a meaningless drive at the end of the game. And I think that kind of undersells how incredibly well the Titans played on defense against what's a top three passing attack in the NFL. And I think that it's going to be fairly easy for them to kind of continue this trend here. I want to point out that they're winning games. I mean, and this like long stretch of playing all these good teams, they've been remarkably impressive on, you know, with a banged up offense and stuff, but I think the defense has almost been carrying them and keeping them in these games. And I think that's because of how good their D-line is. It's going to give the Saints a little bit of trouble here. Trevor Siemian is not good. Taysom Hill is not good. And now we have the Saints working out three more running backs for in case Kamara can't go, which I don't think they would be working out running backs if they thought Kamara had a good chance of playing. I think this is too short. I think this should probably be 4.5. And I'm buying high on the Titans team, but I feel like I have to do it. And I think that we might see quite the downturn from the Saints here. My one worry is we just watched the Saints defense put up an incredible performance against the Bucks. And I think that, how do I put this? I'm worried that that plays a bigger factor than what the Saints or than what the Titans defense does to the Saints offense. So part of that is why I do really like the under. I think this could be a really low scoring game because Mike Vrabel did still show the same affinity for, or whoever's calling plays showed the same affinity for the run that I didn't necessarily want to see. However, in that game, I think AJ Brown had a couple of drops. I think it was two or three, and a couple of those were on pretty key third downs. And if he catches those, I think the final score is even more drastic than what it actually was. So I think we'll see a little bit of like negative positive regression in a couple of different areas. I think ultimately it will benefit the Titans. So I will also, I guess we got another bet, James.
Yeah. Dang,
I got, was it Steelers and Titans?
Yeah, both you two.
All right.
Is the best playmaker on the Saints really Taysom Hill?
Marquez Howell.
It's Kamara.
No, what I'm saying, if Kamara doesn't play this week.
No, it's their kick return, Deontay Harris. Actually, I think he's suspended. Yeah, so that hurts a lot too. Tampa Bay Bucks, laying 9.5 at Washington. Both teams off a bye. Totals at 51.5. Austin, we'll start with you. What do we got here?
The Bucks match up pretty well in this game. The fact that their pass game, their passing offense against this bad Washington secondary should be able to do whatever they want, especially when they're off a bye as well. And then you look at Washington, they like to run the ball, and Tampa Bay has a stingy rush D. This number seems right, but I absolutely have to lean the Tampa Bay way. I don't like that Godwin might be hurt. That kind of pushed me off the spread, just the fact that AB and Gronk are also hurt. So kind of the weapons for Tampa are out this week. It's a pass for me, but I certainly lean the Tampa Bay way.
James, what about you?
I'll be using Tampa for a survivor pick, but that's the extent of this most likely. I lean to the over. I think Tampa with 2 weeks to prepare can probably get some pretty good stuff going offensively. And the same goes for Washington. I mean, I think they can come with some creative things and do some things between the 20s, but not inside the 20s, per usual.
I agree. So I think I like the Bucks here. This was in best bet contention for me. And it comes down to a couple things. First of all, the status of Chris Godwin is important. Not that the rest of the Tampa Bay Bucks receivers aren't good. They obviously are a little bit banged up, but Godwin is pretty special with just like kind of like how well he fits Brady. So I do think that matters a lot. I think that there's not a worse defense for the Washington football team to go up against than the Tampa Bay Bucks, because they're going to allow you to get, you know, inside the red zone. And then you have to deal with short fields against that incredible front seven. And I think they can have a real tough time doing that. I think they have a clear problem at finishing drives. And I think we're going to see that pattern kind of continue here. And offensively, their secondary is horrible. And I think Tom Brady with an extra week, that's going to be his argument, quite possibly his easiest assignment all year, even with all these players out. One other thing, if Chris Godwin is out, I get weird. I kind of lean the under too. I think we might see a lot longer drives for the Bucks, where Tom Brady's just kind of able to control the ball, things of that nature. And I think that towards the end of the game, he's just taking more care of the ball, especially if it is a little bit closer. I think that might be lead to a pretty good live underlook, where like the Bucks Eagles game on, was that Thursday night, we kind of get two very long Bucks drives towards the end of the game, and it's just letting you know, Washington, you know, work underneath and just run clock. So that's what I'm looking at. Anything else from this one?
This was the coming out party last year for Heineke.
Yes, it was. Playoff game. There you go. Revenge game for the Bucks.
Even though they won.
We already hit Lions Steelers. I haven't skipped any yet, right?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
The Minnesota Vikings traveling to SoFi Stadium to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers lane 3, total at 53. James, I'll kick to you to start. Regardless of all the Dalvin Cook news, will he be able to run wild on this bad Chargers defense?
And for fantasy reasons, I hope it's Madison, because I have him in 2 leagues. But I think he will. I actually bet the Chargers minus 2.5 Sunday night, but really regretting that now. I did bet the total, I think, at 51 or 51.5. I still do like that over. The Vikings defense got just walked over last weekend by the Ravens. They have some fundamental problems. And on the other side, you already addressed it. The Vikings are just going to move the ball well on the ground. I think if Lynn's pretty well over, the only thing that scares me
is long drives in this one, but I think there will be some explosive plays. So at 53, I still like the over a little bit, but wouldn't play it much higher.
That was one of my likes. I'm seeing 52.5 here. I like that. Yeah, you pretty much did everything I want to say. Vikings should be able to run at will. Every running back in the Philadelphia area was able to run the ball last week on the Chargers. So I don't care if it's Cook, if it's Madison, they're going to succeed. And then the Chargers still missing a bunch of secondary pieces. I bet they get some guys healthy back this week, but they were very thin last week. Any help in the air for the Vikings, that'll help them. Vikings will be able to get theirs. And yeah, that Vikings defense is pretty bad too. So I'm all over the over.
Hold on. Can I cut in real quick? What were the Eagles doing last week? The Chargers were down like 5 quarterbacks and the Eagles attempted 17 passes. Like, I understand the ground game is working, but how do you not go there more?
I agree. As someone who had Eckler, who needed the Chargers to be on the field, I was pissed off because the Eagles had like 10-minute drives the whole fucking game just because they continued to run.
I can't believe I had to sweat that over. They should have like 70 points in that game. Yep. Not a single stop.
I mean, I feel like the entire season, Sirianni's probably heard how he should be running the ball more, and then he goes up against one of the worst rush defenses in the league. I feel like that's just a pretty easy game plan. And I mean, yeah. I mean, let's not act like Jalen Hurts is some top 10 passer in the NFL. Like, he provides value with his legs. And I mean, he ran the ball pretty well. So yeah, I do agree though. That does feel a little strange, but then again, I wouldn't necessarily want to give, like, I want to keep the ball away from Justin Herbert as much as possible. I mean, they didn't punt. No, have the ball last, score. That's it. But
not a single punt. That's wild.
Yeah. We were talking about that before the pod. That's the second time they've done that, right?
Yep.
That's crazy. What was the other game? Chiefs?
Cowboys.
I think so. Oh, he was Cowboys. It was Cowboys.
And they scored 17 points. God, that was the worst game ever.
That was the worst game ever. I lean under here. I just kind of think that we might see a game like we saw last week. And I know that game went over, but I mean, it's the clock's going to be running. And I think that I'm not going to bet it. It's a lean, but as the number goes up and up, I'm going to think about it more and more and hopefully not bet it, because it would be quite the sweat from start to end. But oh no,
But Harrison Smith is also most likely out again for the Vikings, which helps our over.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's good. That'll keep me off. Let's move on. Eagles at the Broncos. Broncos laying 3+100, total at 45. Are we all kind of on the Eagles side?
Yeah.
All right. Austin, you are too?
I'm on an Eagles teaser.
All right, that's how I was going to play it anyways. Present the case for the teaser, Austin.
Broncos are going to win by more than 8.5 points.
They covered last week.
I don't care about last week. That game was an anomaly. I think the Broncos are so bad. Like, this is the same Broncos team that just barely beat Washington off 2 block field goals. They just lost to Case Keenum. Meanwhile, this Eagles team, they've played pretty quality opponents all season. I think that the fact that you're getting an underdog spread, this probably spread should break even. I just don't think the Broncos are a very good team. I might even bet some Eagles rushing props. Their offensive line is very solid, even if the Chargers defense is very bad. That Eagles O-line is very good, and they still should have a lot of success this week. Jordan Howard appears to be the main back on that squad. That's about all I got.
James, what about you?
Yeah, so I actually bet the Eagles +3, despite everything I just said about Sirianni. I think last week was totally fugazi for the Broncos. Like Austin said, I think they're probably bottom third team in the NFL. And against those teams, that's where the Eagles have feasted this year, and that's where they've got all their wins. This game kind of reminds me of Eagles at the Panthers when the Eagles were catching 3-1 outright. I just think the Eagles can do enough here, and I think the Broncos might be sniffing themselves a little bit after that otherworldly performance. So I think the three's pretty valuable here, but if it's 2.5, I also like the teases wherever they want. I don't know what a Broncos sniff. Hey, wait, who wins in a fight?
I'm so glad you brought this up.
Eagles picking it up, right?
I don't know. I think it's gotta be a Bronco.
Yeah, but
how does it kill the Eagles? Like, put its hoofs on it?
I mean,
that's true. An Eagle's always going to have the advantage attacking from the sky.
Just like aerial attack, go for the eyes.
Are Eagles in Denver?
I don't think so.
Denver's a mile high.
Fair enough.
So Eagles are on the ground there?
All right, let's move on. I like the over here. Okay. I think that the Broncos made a pretty good offensive adjustment. Austin pointed this out to me earlier. They switched to a dink and dunk offense to suit Teddy's strengths. And I think, it clearly worked out for them. It was able to open up two or three deep shots he takes a game, and he was able to connect on a couple of them. And I think that the Eagles offense, just behind that offensive line, I think continues to get better. And with Patrick Surtain banged up, possibly out this week, I know he left the game. I think that might provide a little value on the number or on the total. Just him being, he's been the best corner or cover corner for the Broncos this year. So I think that makes Jalen Hurts' life a little bit easier. And ultimately, I think it opens up the offense in general. And 45, it's a pretty low total. And the Broncos offense has, wouldn't quite say it's been one of the worst things in the entire world. So over 45 for me.
It's an ugly one, but I don't mind that.
What's up?
It's an ugly one, but I don't mind that.
Yeah. I believe is Packers Seahawks.
Yeah,
that'll work. Okay, yeah. And that's the only one I've missed, right?
Well, Cardinals Panthers.
Oh,
I forgot about that one too. They got pulled down.
I'm seeing a 10.5 here. Oh, Kyler News.
He has TJ. Let's talk about it now. So Panthers, as of the last time I looked,
I'm seeing 10.5.
10.5. Okay. So Panthers 10.5. I believe the number is 44.
Yep.
Cardinals are at home, by the way. We're getting PJ Walker and Kyler Murray. I saw today that he hasn't practiced yet, but, and I quote, "My ankle feels better and better by the day." I think the other important thing to think about is if DeAndre Hopkins is playing, and I know he's really old, but he has been pretty solid this year. I think it does matter if AJ Green's playing.
Wow.
Is he out?
I don't know. I can't believe you said that. Really? you're an AJ Green hater.
I am.
Maybe that's me. Actually, I think I'm the AJ Green hater.
No, I'm a Patrick Peterson hater. He's not playing this game. actually, I'm a big hater on a lot of guys. Can the Panthers win? Is that too much of a stretch?
I think they can.
We just saw the Broncos do it in the same spread.
Like, if this is Colt, like, what number is this saying? Colt McCoy is favored by 10.5 in this game?
This has to be Kyler Murray's favored by 10.5, which is probably why it's been pulled down.
Well, you don't know. Maybe the market's upgrading the Panthers.
He might be an upgrade. Like, Robbie Anderson is thanking the Lord.
He probably can't be a downgrade.
PJ Walker's coming in.
So it was 10, and then when PJ Walker was announced, it went down to 10.5. I don't really know who would want to bet the Cardinals just based off that news. I feel like it's pretty lateral. Like, I wouldn't upgrade or downgrade the Panthers off that. I feel like it's pretty fair. Sam Darnold's been so bad, but you also don't really know what we're getting with PJ Walker, which is why I kind of feel like there is value on Panthers' money line. I mean, he hasn't started a game yet, has he?
No, I don't know. So
he's come on relief a couple times.
It's just been like relief duty, and I think that's such a hard spot to come in. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. I don't know. Like, just very.
There's not much tape on him. Like, that's clearly a plus for him. And then the other thing he has to add to it is Christian McCaffrey looked pretty good last week. He looked healthy. Another week under his belt. This Panthers offense isn't that bad. And maybe PJ Walker can open up the fact that they have Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, who can't ever seem to both get the ball at the same time.
Ooh.
Robbie Anderson can never get the ball.
It's a little bit of a sandwich for the Cardinals, too. They got the Seahawks on deck in Seattle.
Oh, and they own that game. That's James' favorite bet of the year every single year.
It is. Like, it'll beat them again Seattle this year.
Panthers, wow, but they're finally going to be favored, James.
I like the look ahead is Seattle -1.
What?
If Arizona's a dog in Seattle, that will require a large bet.
Okay, let's finish talking about this game first.
Okay.
Wait, do we have any more thoughts?
I like the Panthers look. I mean, I think the fact that their defense has played decent.
I think the defense played well.
I agree. And look, if it's Colt McCoy, great. If it's hurt Kyler Murray, great.
Even better.
I don't think there's – I like the 10.5.
Is Brian Burns out?
So if Kyler plays this line, I don't know. I could find that out. He didn't participate in practice today. If Kyler plays, where does this line go? If he's officially, let's say he's healthy tomorrow, he's going to play. Does the line move up 11 and a half?
Yeah, it's the same. I think we get. Yeah, I think 11.
It stays the same, but there'll be some steam.
Yeah.
You think so?
We see this like we saw this with Dak too. Yeah. Like the
where
line
did
moved
that
like a point and a half, and like Dak would. 10 and a half. It was like 9, and then it got fed up. But we all knew Dak was going to play the entire time. Like, I mean, the difference between 10 and a half and 11 and 12 is honestly like nothing, but maybe like a slight bump.
I think this is a great spot to bet Panthers money line.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
Cue the Cam Vetter text.
Oh,
Sunday,
yeah.
At 4:30.
It's not gonna be very happy.
Fuck y'all for bending the Bengals for the 8th week in a row.
Wait, really quick. Jungle Cat versus Bird. Who wins?
I'm taking the Panther every fucking time. Cardinals aren't even intimidated.
Have you seen a Cardinal, bro?
Small
I've
ass
never
bird.
Had.
It's a baby
I hate
bird.
The baseball team. Need to move on. Seahawks. Traveling to Green Bay to take on maybe Aaron Rodgers, maybe not Aaron Rodgers. Packers lane 3, total at 49.5. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this game. Sorry,
so Austin,
Packers lane 3.
Austin likes the under.
I got the under.
Okay.
Let me hear it. Do we got a weather game? Be helpful. Colt, really it's a bet on I'm expecting Seattle to ease Wilson back into the game. Back into just the lineup, the fact that they love the
dude, we got
rock.
Snow.
Yeah, it's snowing.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Snowing.
Snover.
We got a little snow game.
It's a light snow though.
Yeah, that's why my weather is not saying much. But either way, they you know Seattle how much they love to pound the rock. In a short spread like this, I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to do so. If it's Rodgers, I bet this number it might go up, but I guess the snow news could change things. If it's Jordan Love, the under is very valuable. I don't know what to think spread wise. Honestly, it feels a little short, even if Wilson's playing.
I agree.
But I don't know. Rodgers has had no practice this week, if that means anything. I don't know. What do you guys think spread wise?
Well, let me just tack on to your under real quick. I hadn't thought about this angle until right now. But the fact that Russell Wilson hasn't seen playtime in over a month, and the fact mm-hmm. that Rodgers is going to be touching the football for the first time if he plays Sunday, I think you're going to see some rust. I really like this under. And we know the Packers are notorious for long drives. And the Seahawks, they like to pound the ball too. I think we could see limited possessions in this one. I actually really like this under.
Also, too, I think this under might be our – and I'm going to add something to this too. I think I want to hear what you guys think about a first half under if you want to talk about rust and cold hands,
ooh,
especially with a broken hand.
Yeah.
Even better news for your point, Austin. Chris Carson was activated off the IR today and – with your starting running back.
Yeah,
back,
they're going to feed him.
I think you might want to feed him the rock a little bit. First half under, I would imagine 24.5 if I had to guess. Let me see here. Oh, it's not going to be.
I bet you 26.5.
Really? Oh, I don't think it'll be that high. I mean, the total I'm looking at.
It is 24. Never mind.
24 flat?
Yeah.
I think
it's,
that's
a little
here.
Juice to the over.
And I think we try and – so when does Rodgers have to be cleared?
Saturday night.
I think we should bet it before then.
Like right now? I think he's getting clear testing. Like there's no way he's still positive after 10 days. Like,
but if Rodgers is active, if Rodgers is active and the snow stays away, the number's going to go up, the total.
No, I think the
yes,
snow, if anything,
I think,
helps
I think
the
number
like,
falls,
that goes away. It helps us.
I think the number falls more – if he's out, then like
agreed.
The number
true.
It goes up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If Jordan Love plays, this number drops below 47.
If Rodgers plays, I like this either way. Like if
I agree. I'll lose that's out on a point.
Yeah.
Or yeah. whenever it appears. All right. Yeah, that's good.
It's on BetFast.
So Jordan Love plays. Where do you think this side, like Packers
Seattle
minus what?
Two. Seattle like minus two.
Hmm.
He
maybe
was.
Minus three.
I think I'd bet the Packers.
So bad. I couldn't even think about betting the Packers.
You know
the Seahawks defense still isn't any good.
That's true.
You know who had a worse EPA per play last week than Jordan Love?
Sam Darnold.
Mac Jones.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
All right, that's interesting. Yeah, first half under there. I kind of like that a lot. Those are some good points you guys made. We already hit Eagles Broncos, right? All right, I'm all yep. caught up. I haven't missed anything.
Yeah, final game
Monday night.
Yes, we hit Chiefs Raiders too. Monday night, the Rams are traveling to San Francisco, where they are lane four on the road, and they are. I would imagine everyone on earth is betting the Rams this week. Well. Except maybe one person. Austin, what are your thoughts on this game?
Fuck the Niners. I just can't stand that team. I can't believe in that spot last week that they came out with that kind of performance.
Yeah, that made me really angry.
I mean, the game was over the second it started. They just rolled over and let the Cardinals F them to death. I mean, it was pathetic.
F them to death.
Yes. And like, I don't want to take the Rams. I was circling this game to take the Niners because they were going to beat the Cardinals and they were going to move to what 500 this week if they won this game, or they would be 5-4 after this week if they won this game. But I don't see why the Rangers don't beat the shit out of them. I don't have anything to add. I'm on the Rams with the rest.
I lean the other way. I mean, Shanahan's actually owned this matchup. He's won the last four in the series versus McVay. I don't know if that's because of Saleh or him just out-coaching McVay, but it does seem to be a recurring theme. And there can't be any lower spot for the Niners. I mean, yeah, the Rams hit the bet on Sunday night, but the Niners allowed 31 to Colt McCoy, and the Cardinals could have scored more if they wanted to. Like, it doesn't get worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
How do they stop the Rams?
I don't know.
So
give me the case for the Niners, Chaz.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, right? So part of this is that everyone is betting the Rams right now. And I'm curious to see how this number moves when limits open up tomorrow. But this just feels a whole lot like Bucks Patriots Sunday night, and where I think the Rams are in the Bucks position and they take money all week as a road favorite, and this is just kind of where the line stays, and it's just going to sit here for a while. And I think like this is just the bottoming out point that all these books can offer. I think they're going to take a position on the Niners. You know what, I'm kind of okay being on that side. I love the under. I don't know how it's 49.
Okay, get on board with that.
I think the Niners defense is, at least in the secondary, is atrocious. So the Rams could put up 50 points on their own. I'm not sure I would be really that shocked. So here, this is kind of where I'm at. This game could make me look like the dumbest person on earth, where like I bet the Niners and the under, and the Niners just win 50-0. But I also think that there's just too much value on the Niners, and I like the under, I guess. The good thing about it is I think I will have until Sunday night around 5 o'clock Pacific time to make that decision, because I think the Rams are just going to continue to take money all week. And you know what? Maybe the number gets even better for me. I don't know. This just feels like the buy low opportunity for the Niners here. And I think that general opinion still holds the Rams in this incredibly high regard. And I think that everyone's is saying to themselves right now, oh, the Rams just look like shit on Sunday night, so let's bet them now, a little bounce back spot. So any thoughts? I would love for one of you to try and talk me, like really just give me, just tell me not to do it. But you'll have to tell me again Sunday, because I'm still going to want you Sunday.
It's Monday night.
Oh, it's Monday night. Oh, yeah. Dang it.
I mean, the only thing I kind of will agree with you, just that we wanted the Titans last week because the Rams haven't really proved it yet. I mean, they had a great win against the Bucs, but other than that, they really haven't beaten anyone. So maybe they're not that good. And in a tough division matchup, this is a good spot for the Niners to keep it close and give them a game. I can't get behind this Niners team. This feels like the perfect game where it's either Jimmy G's last outing or the Trey Lance show finally kicks off, because if they keep losing games, he's got to start. Like, he's got to start playing games, because Jimmy G's not the guy.
Is he even suiting up right now? Like, are we sure he's healthy?
I'm looking up tweets right now, and everyone in the world is complaining why Trey Lance isn't playing.
Good. So he needs to start. He's way too talented. I agree.
But Kyle Shanahan doesn't sound ready to make the QB change, according to 49ers NBC. So. Also, Kyle Shanahan's not that guy. Are you going to call for his head anytime soon, Jazz?
No, I'm with it. He either needs to relinquish control of GMship to John Lynch, or he needs to get the hell out of there. He's been hot ass this year. He's been horrible. You're right. You know what? Thank you for keeping me on my game, Austin. Kyle Shanahan's been dog shit this year, and he deserves all the hate he's been getting. Overrated head coach. How can you have a worse coaching record than Mike Singletary? That's embarrassing. Unbelievable. Okay, that was my head coach rant of the podcast. Anything else? Any futures bets? I'm feeling great on MVP.
Lamar's still 10-1. I saw it like a day ago.
I feel like that's too low.
It kind of blows my mind. Josh Allen was still plus 350, and he just absolutely shit the bet on Sunday.
He actually got money this week. I saw it open. I saw it at 4-1 when I checked this week, and I looked again earlier today, and he's down 350.
Can I pose a question?
Sure.
So we talked about this a little on the pod before. Just the fact that the AFC is so weak. Do we want to grab a team that's more under the radar to possibly win the AFC? I know Chaz mentioned the Colts, which I don't think is that bad of a play. I think they're a frisky team. I don't like their defense, but their offense isn't that bad. And if Carson Wentz is playing this well, I don't see why they can't win a game. And with just no team in the AFC really standing out, what do you guys think?
I think you could look at the Chargers and make that case. I mean, Preston talked about it in our chat today about how weak their remaining schedule is. But, I mean, I don't trust them, but if you want to talk about it, probably a sleeper. They're a little bit of a sleeping giant. They got some pieces.
The Chargers are – feel like they have too many – they're such like a sexy team because they're good where like we see they're good. But I feel like – and like they – like a team like the Browns, I feel like if they played again, like might just kind of expose them a little bit.
I mean, they scored 42 on them. It's not like the Chargers play the best game.
Well, that's true. And like that also kind of plays my point where I feel like it's – I don't know. I think I would take the Browns. And, like, they're not necessarily a sleeper. I think you could – they have the talent where you could possibly call them, like, a sleeping giant. I think the only thing that's holding them back is Baker Mayfield, which, like, down 10 and with at the start of the fourth quarter, he's not exactly my first choice to bring you back. But, I mean, I love the coach. I love the talent on defense. And I love all the talent around him. So
you're right. Great offensive line, and they're getting healthier now. That secondary is getting healthier. I mean, we took the Browns at the beginning of the year. I mean, right now I see 14-1 to win the AFC.
Mm.
I think there's pretty value there. If they get that offense clicking, you never know.
One more thing.
Hunt's got to get healthy.
Yeah, he's not playing this week. I think he might get activated next week, but we'll see. One more thing. They're plus 350 to win the division. For what we've said about how we just are not believers at all in the Ravens defense, I think there might be a little value on that too, especially with the Bengals not exactly having their finest couple of weeks. And I mean, the Steelers are the Steelers. I mean, they're going to get shit done this week, but
not to mention Ravens play the Browns twice still and the Packers and the Rams.
Yeah. I was going to say the Browns remaining schedule is much nicer. Here's a little weird schedule thing. So the Browns play the Ravens November 28th.
They have a bye week.
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
That might
be the same team twice.
That might be a good spot to fade whoever wins, I guess. Just like team wins, they think that they can just do the same thing again.
That happened Dolphins Jets. I don't know the look at what happened. I think like two seasons ago.
I think you're right. We definitely podcasted, so maybe it was last year. I feel like we did, maybe.
Yeah, we did. It was 2020 last year. And I can't get the results on the fly. Sorry.
All good. Thank you all for listening.
Wait. We had a guy on our Twitter DMs complaining that we don't go over our
picks. Oh, you're right. I know what? I thought about that at the start. I'm so glad you reminded me. What was his name? I'm going to give him a little shout out. Pull up. You find it. Really quick.
Tell us your likes.
Recap. My likes. Best bet is the Browns. I like the Eagles, Broncos over 45. I like them boys. The Bucks, and I already forget my last one. What was it? Oh, the Bills. Right. So I love a lot of favorites essentially in the Browns. So
all right, Eric J, thank you for the support and telling us the great tip. My best bet is Chiefs. Second like is Cowboys. I like the Vikings, Chargers over, the Packers, Seahawks under. And I wrote as my fifth like, fuck it, Titans minus -3.
My best bet was the Lions plus +9, Saints plus +3, the Eagles plus +3, the Ravens minus -7.5, and the Browns plus +2.5.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. We love getting feedback. Thanks again to Eric. And of course, shout out Greg and Pocket Casts. But follow us on Twitter. Bunch, you know what? James, I don't know if you were paying attention because I know you didn't bet it, but Pacific gave Northern Colorado a 13-point lead. Sadly, came back, lost by 2. A bummer, but off to a solid start nonetheless in college basketball. College football pod dropping probably before this, so hopefully you listen to that first. Did record Wednesday night, so a couple of Thursday plays for you, whether you want to flip back and forth between North Carolina, Pitt, and the Ravens, Dolphins. Check us out on BetSports at the Sharpside Pod, same thing there. And please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe to our Apple Podcast feed. And if you're listening on Spotify, click the little follow, subscribe button there too. And you know what? Help out my boy Greg. Download the podcast app too while you're at it. Thank you guys for listening. Truly appreciate it. And Austin, what are we going to do this weekend?
Let's go win some money.
Let's do it.